Well, do please be seated. And can I say, it is a great privilege to be with you this morning on what is a joyful day for you as a church and for us at Wood Green as a church that is sending Andy and Grace and the girls to you. My name is Richard. I'm the lead pastor at Wood Green Evangelical Church in Worcester. I think it's about 180 miles away, as we've discovered, some of us, this morning. Andy and Grace and the girls have come to you from us, and Andy came from Theological College to be our assistant pastor for 3 years, and then because we appreciated his ministry so much, he stayed with us for two and a half more years, and I want to say to you, we love the Reese family, we really love them, and maybe that came across a little bit from what Andy was saying as well. They are precious to us. And we now know where you live, okay? So please look after them. We are a better church because of their ministry amongst us. We are immensely grateful to God for giving them to us as a gift for a time. And it is a privilege to be able to hand them on to you. You have landed a good catch here, guys. I hope you know that. And it's also a great privilege to be asked to preach God's word this morning. So please turn to Romans chapter 15. That passage that we had read to us just a few moments ago, so helpfully by Bev. I want to focus your attention for a few moments on Paul's prayer request in verses 30 to 33, the last four verses of Romans chapter 15, because Paul shows us there how to pray for your pastor. According to the Guinness Book of Records, the world's longest sermon lasted 53 hours and 18 minutes. It was preached by Pastor Zach Zender 4 years ago at his own church in Florida, and it spanned the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation. But in order to comply with Guinness World Record rules, a minimum of 10 church members had to be listening for the entire time. And that is one of the things that struck me when I came across that story, the vital role church members played in their pastor's ministry marathon. After he'd set the new world record, Pastor Zach paid tribute to his church members who'd supported him throughout the endeavor. Some members supplied him with honey tea at regular intervals to help with his voice. Some members cooked and fed him while he was preaching, because he couldn't stop. Apparently at hour 36, he even managed to eat a lobster. How you do that while preaching, I have no idea. Imagine what it must have been like for those on the front row, but we won't go there. Some members who are nurses took it in shifts to monitor his health during the sermon. Other members just supported him by just sitting there and listening with rapt attention for the entire time. There was no dozing off with this sermon. Well, you will be relieved to hear that I am not going to attempt to beat Pastor Zach's record this morning, and I'm also not giving you a subtle hint about the length of Andy's sermons, okay? There's no subtle hints here. I tell you that story because I think Pastor Zach's ministry marathon is a good illustration of how any long-term ministry is sustained. No pastor can go it alone. Without the support of the church and church members, a pastor will never be able to keep going. A few years ago, I was involved in a survey of 400 new or soon-to-be pastors that was conducted in the UK in evangelical churches. And some of the results to do with stress were striking. Over 80% said that in their experience, it was harder to be a pastor than to work in a secular environment. Around 70% said being a pastor was a lonely job. A similar number said pastors face too much criticism in their roles. Frankly, I am rarely surprised when I hear of gifted men leaving pastoral ministry. I've been a pastor for nearly 20 years now, and there has been two occasions in my ministry where I've very nearly thrown in the towel. Because while it's a great privilege to pastor God's people, it is also mentally, emotionally, and spiritually demanding. So, members of Surrey Chapel, As you welcome Andy as your new pastor here, I hope one of the questions that you are asking yourselves is, how can we support our new pastor? I've been really encouraged by the prayer that was prayed earlier, because I sensed that that was a question that you were asking. And can I commend you for that and encourage you to keep asking that question? How can we support him? How can we support his family so that his ministry here lasts for the long haul? Well, at the end of Paul's letter to the believers in Rome, the Apostle Paul asks them to support him in his ministry by praying for him. You look at verse 30. He says, "I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me." The best way you can support Andy and ensure his ministry goes the distance here is by praying for him. Interestingly, the Greek word that's used by Paul there that we translate struggle in verse 30, it's a word that was used most often in a military context. Paul describes gospel ministry as a conflict zone. But do you see what he does there? He invites the believers in Rome to join in with him and his struggle on the battlefield. He's not to do it alone. He doesn't want to do it alone. He wants them to join with him. He urges them to stand with him, shoulder to shoulder, on the front line, as it were, fighting alongside him by praying. And in verses 31 and 32, he tells them what to pray. He doesn't leave them to guess. He tells them exactly what he wants them to pray. He urges them to pray three things for him. And I want to suggest that these are three things it would be good for you to pray as a church, and that we will be praying at Wood Green for Andy as he starts here as your pastor. Because these three things are essential if a ministry is going to go the distance. Firstly, Paul asks the Christians in Rome to pray for his protection. Paul wrote Romans before traveling to Jerusalem to deliver a gift that the Gentile believers in Macedonia and Achaia had collected for their Jewish brothers and sisters in Jerusalem who were in need. Look at verse 25 that we had read earlier. Verse 25 of chapter 15. "Now, however, I am on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the Lord's people there. For Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the Lord's people in Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in the Jews' spiritual blessings, they owe it to the Jews to share with them in their material blessings. So after I have completed this task and have made sure that they have received the contribution, I will go to Spain and visit you on the way. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the full measure of the blessing of Christ." So Paul's plan was to travel to Jerusalem to deliver this gift that had been collected by the Gentile churches, and then to travel on to Spain to preach the gospel there. But on the way to Spain, he planned to drop in on the believers in Rome to spend some time with them. Now, if you look at it on a map, that was a very long trip. I think John Stott in his commentary says that all in all, it was a journey of around 3,000 miles. If Paul went by sea, and considerably longer if he went by land, that would be a big journey today for us, wouldn't it? It was an even more significant one for Paul, as he anticipated that. But do you notice that Paul asks the Christians in Rome, when he asks them to pray for him, he doesn't pray for his safety as he travels to his destination. What he asks them to pray for is his safety when he arrives at his destination in Jerusalem. Look at verse 31. He says, "Pray that I may be kept safe from the unbelievers in Judea." Paul knew that there were those who were opposed to the gospel in Jerusalem, who wanted to stop his ministry. And so he suspected that when he arrived, there would be those who would try to silence him. There would be those who were opposed to him. And if you read Acts chapter 21, you'll see his fears were justified. In Acts chapter 21, when Paul arrived in Jerusalem, there was a riot in the temple, and the Romans had to take him into custody to prevent a mob from killing him. Paul could see what was coming. He could see the sort of opposition he was likely to face as he wrote to the believers in Rome. And so he urges them to pray for his protection and his safety from those who are enemies of the gospel. And we need to pray the same thing today for all those involved in gospel ministry, not just pastors, but all those involved in church leadership and gospel ministry. Satan would love nothing more than to end the ministry of a Christian leader or pastor or gospel worker. All the evidence shows he attacks the marriages, the families, the moral purity, the biblical faithfulness, the emotional resilience, the spiritual vitality, and in some countries, even the physical safety, the physical lives of those engaged in gospel ministry. Satan hates gospel ministry. In our own country today, there's a rising tide of intolerance towards faithful biblical teaching. There are those who are opposed to the gospel message, who would love to silence those who preach it. And so we need to pray for their protection. Surrey Chapel, you need to pray for Andy's protection. But Andy, you have a responsibility in this as well. You need to be watchful in prayer. If the Apostle Paul, with all his remarkable gifts, described his ministry as a struggle, then you shouldn't expect it to be any different, and neither should I. Never forget, when you engage in ministry, you engage the enemy. You are in a battle, and so you need to stay alert. Be watchful in prayer for yourself as well as for the flock that God has entrusted to you. Stay alert. Be on guard. Don't get complacent. We had read to us earlier the opening verses of 1 Peter chapter 5. A bit further on, verses that are addressed to the church leaders, the pastors. And later on in that chapter, the Apostle Peter says something else to the elders of the churches he was writing to. He says they need to stay alert because there is an enemy who is looking to take them down. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, Peter says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith." There's that military language again of standing firm like a soldier. See, that's the reality of pastoral ministry. It is a dangerous occupation. Paul Tripp, an author and speaker, wrote a book a few years ago about the unique challenges of pastoral ministry. And he entitled the book, A Dangerous Calling. In it, he says this: "You will never live successfully in the pastorate if you live with a peacetime mentality." And he's right. And part of what that means in practice, not the full scope, but part of what it means in practice, is being watchful and alert, secure in the knowledge that we have God's Spirit to help us and equip us and enable us to stand firm. So Paul asked the Christians in Rome to pray for his protection. And if Paul needed that, so does Andy. But then secondly, Paul also asked the Christians in Rome to pray for his acceptance. Do you notice that? Having asked for prayer for deliverance from unbelievers, Paul then goes on to ask for acceptance from believers. Look again at verse 31. "Pray that I may be kept safe from the unbelievers in Judea, and that the contribution I take to Jerusalem may be favorably received by the Lord's people there, so that I may come to you with joy by God's will." Now, if you read through Paul's letters and the book of Acts, you'll see that Paul was regarded by some Jewish converts as a bit of a loose cannon. Some of them were suspicious of his more relaxed approach to the law and to certain Jewish customs, such as circumcision. And Paul was aware of this. And so he asks the believers in Rome to pray that the gift he delivers to the Jewish Christians in Jerusalem would be favorably received by them. He's concerned that if they reject this gift from the Gentile churches, it could cause a disunity and a rift between Jewish and Gentile Christians. And so he asks for prayer that his ministry might be accepted by the believers in Jerusalem, so that when he eventually visits Rome, he might come to them with joy. Look, we need to pray a similar thing when we pray for anyone engaged in gospel ministry. In order for ministry to be effective, it has to be accepted. Those who are being ministered to have to welcome both the minister, you've done that well this morning, and his ministry. That's a bit more challenging, particularly when God's word is opened up and changes are made and God's word is challenging to us. If a minister is to be accepted, if his ministry is to be accepted, you have to trust him. You have to be receptive and open to what he brings, even if it's different to what has been done before or involves change. Surrey Chapel, you can pray best for Andy by praying for yourselves, that you would accept Andy's ministry amongst you, that you would welcome the ideas that he brings, that you would be open to the changes he will make. Pray for yourselves that you would favorably receive the contribution, the gift among you. Because just so you know, Andy will make changes. I can guarantee it. Not just because it's Andy, but because every pastor does. They always bring a different way of doing things, different style, a different approach, sometimes different nuanced vision. And churches sometimes find that hard. Let's be open and honest about that. I've worked with Andy for 5 years, and I can tell you, he is not one to sit still for long. It is just not how God has made him. It is actually one of his greatest strengths. Man, you really don't know what you've let yourself in for, do you? But look, at Wood Green, we have been tremendously blessed by Andy's creativity and innovation and gospel drive. I learned early on that the way to get the best out of Andy was trust him and let him get on with things. And can I encourage you to do the same? He will think outside the box. He will have some what seem at first crazy ideas. But go with them. You can trust him. He has good gospel instincts. We've been blessed enormously at Wood Green by that. So pray for yourselves that you would welcome and be open to Andy's ministry among you. Because if you are, the result, as with Paul, will be great joy for you and for Andy. Paul asks the Christians in Rome to pray for his acceptance. And if Paul needed that, so does Andy. But lastly, Paul also asks the Christians in Rome to pray for his refreshment. After visiting Jerusalem, Paul's plan was to stop off in Rome before then going on to Spain. But his arrest in Jerusalem led to a change of plan. Paul did eventually get to Rome, but he did so in chains as a Roman prisoner. However, when he writes to the believers in Rome, when he writes this letter, he's unaware of how things are going to turn out. And so he asks them to pray that when he visits them, he might be refreshed. Look at verse 31 and 32 again. Pray that I may be kept safe from the unbelievers in Judea, and that the contribution I take to Jerusalem may be favorably received by the Lord's people there, so that I may come to you with joy by God's will, and in your company be refreshed. Paul asks the believers to pray that his batteries might be recharged, that he might be go on to Spain refreshed because he spent time with them. Do you notice where Paul says, where he expected this refreshment to come from? In verse 32, he expects to be refreshed in your company. Paul expected that the believers in Rome would be the source of his refreshment. At the beginning of the letter, he expresses a similar expectation. Just flip back to chapter 1, Romans, chapter 1, verse 11, if you've got your Bible open. And look at what Paul says at the beginning of the book, verse 11 and 12. He says, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. You see, Paul expected his visit to Rome to be a source of mutual encouragement. It wasn't to be a one-way street. He expected encouragement to be a two-way street. He was eager to minister to them, that's clear, but he expected that they would minister to him as well. And so in chapter 15, at the end of the letter, he returns to that theme. He asks them to pray that they might be a source of refreshment for him. Look, I have absolutely no doubt that Andy and Grace and their girls will refresh, encourage, and be a huge blessing to you as a church. But if you want a pastor who goes the distance, who lasts for the long haul, please don't forget your responsibility to refresh and encourage and be a blessing to them. As Andy ministers amongst you, pray that you would have the insight to know how you can minister to him and to his family. Pray that you would know how you can refresh and encourage him as he seeks to refresh and encourage you. And the good news is, we're not left to guess where spiritual refreshment ultimately comes from. Paul doesn't kind of leave us to guess that. He tells us in verse 33, he tells us very clearly, he concludes with this benediction that points us to the ultimate source of spiritual refreshment. Verse 33, the God of peace will be with you all. Amen. Andy, it's really important you remember this, where spiritual refreshment comes from. You will only stay fresh as a pastor, and you will only go the distance if you maintain a close walk with the God of peace. Ministry is often exhausting and demanding, but there is a source of refreshment who will never fail you. The God of peace promises his sustaining presence because of what Jesus has done on the cross. The peace that Jesus has won for us, he gives to us. He promises his presence. So in the struggle of ministry, stay close to him. Depend on him. Draw strength from him. And be bold in offering this peace to others in a divided, conflicted, chaotic world. There is peace on offer in Jesus because of his work on the cross. Continue to faithfully offer that to others. Yes, as Paul has reminded us, ministry is a struggle. It's a conflict zone. But there is a God of peace who promises to be with us and who will refresh us as we draw on his endless resources in Christ. So Surrey Chapel, how can you pray for your new pastor? Pray for his protection. Pray for his acceptance. Pray for his refreshment. Let's do that now, shall we? Let's pray. Father, thank you that in your amazing grace you give your church the gift of pastor teachers. And we thank you for showing us in this passage how we can pray for Andy as he starts his time here. We pray for his protection. Keep him safe from those who are opposed to the gospel. Keep him safe from falling into sin or error. Help him to faithfully preach the gospel even when ministry is a struggle. We also pray for his acceptance. Help the elders, the church family here to accept Andy's character, gifts and leadership. Help them to trust him when he wants to change things. Help them to be patient when he gets things wrong. Help them to appreciate his heart for the lost and his heart to see your people grow. And we pray for his refreshment. Keep his walk with you vibrant, fresh and real. Help him to be an encouragement to the church family here and help the church family here to be generous in their encouragement of him. In this busy, sometimes stressful, first year of ministry particularly, sustain them as a family. Give them friends. Give them supporters. Give them joy as they settle in and serve you. Thank you that because of Jesus we can know you and the peace that you give. Give Andy and Grace and their girls immense peace, the peace that comes from knowing you are with them as they step out in faith in this new chapter of ministry. Help them to go the distance, we pray. For we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.